Home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week to lick our wounds after that Steelers loss on Sunday. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll have the Ravens scratch-offs to give away on Thursday. We're going to be in Hampstead, beautiful Hampstead. We're going to be having crab cakes, some of the really delicious crab cakes at Greenmount Station. Also brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. If you are tuning in here at any point in the next couple of days, we're about to do a piece on comedy and on a live show coming down to Hot Annapolis this weekend with our friends at Ramset at Maryland Live, Maryland Hall. But for me, music. Music has been such a big part of my life. If you're hearing stuff that's music oriented this week, it's because Friday's International Music Day, and I'm just like bringing it all out to Baltimore Positive. I had a chance to have Paul Mercurio on, do a little comedy. We all need a little comedy. I saw the election 2 weeks ago. I know what's coming in January. I just said to my wife, what day? She said January 20. I said, well, let the comedy begin for all of us. Tragedy comedy, however it is. You are bringing your show to town, and look, you sit with the best of the best from Leno and Colbert. Thanks for making a little time for a schmuck from Dundalk to
Come
come on
on,
the way down to Annapolis, man.
you're not
Thanks
a
for coming by.
schmuck. You know Providence College, my alma mater, my hometown. You're no schmuck. You're my brother right there. Don't come on, come
Well,
on.
you know, you're always billed as this Wall Street guy. Man, it feels like a long time ago. You've been in comedy longer than you ever did that, right?
Yeah, I didn't plan on this. I went to law school in Georgetown in D.C. and then started doing corporate law, M&A, mergers and acquisitions. Starting to write jokes is a hobby. Didn't think I was going to do anything like this. I mean, I always loved stand up as a kid. I don't know about you, but I loved watching it on TV. But I'm like, I'm not going to do it, right? And then I had all these jokes written one night. Our firm got invited to this function, and Jay Leno was a private entertainment. And I just went up to him and I said, I don't know if you need jokes, but I got all these jokes that I'm never going to use them. You can have them. And he was like, okay.
Was he already doing jaywalking then?
I mean, he was on the Tonight Show. He had just gotten it. Well, he'd been on for a while and he was doing jaywalking and stuff like that. But I never talked to him in person at that whole, like, and the hang was like that. And it's sort of like somebody's letting helium out of a balloon, like very slowly, you know? But he took the jokes. And then a couple of days later, my phone rang and it's like, hey, it's Jay Leno, it's Paul there.
You ever been in a
And
car with him, one of his billion-dollar cars, or no?
no, yeah, I have actually. Yeah, I've been to his car. Warehouses, plural, is insane. Like he basically in one part of LA rented like two blocks of like old warehouses. So you go into one warehouse, which is about 100 yards, and you're like, oh, okay, there's a Bugatti, there's a Rolls-Royce. He's got like anything that's got an engine in it, he's like obsessed. He's got a World War II Royal Aircraft engine from like one of the fighters in World War II, like everything. So you go in and it's like hundreds, and then there's a doorway, and then there's another one of those warehouses. Then there's a doorway, and there's another one.
I've
It's
seen
insane.
video of it. And I'm thinking, like, if you went for a ride with him, what car did you pick? That's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, he took me in a Corvair. Another time, he took me in a Ferrari. He was just whatever he felt like driving that day. It's all
How do
self-contained.
comedians do this? You guys go out, you work on each other the whole time. You're like working on it. What's funny, what's not? You made me laugh. How does that work?
You know, if you're stuck on something, you kind of like you run something by somebody. You know what I mean? Like, is this funny or I'm missing something? Like, you're close and you can't like. But then there are some jokes that come like super easy. Like, I was literally in a cab. I live in New York City and I was going across town from one club to another, and I had put some Vaseline on my lips, and I thought. I came up with this joke that's like that ended up killing. It's like, how do the people who make Vaseline make any money? I've had the same tub of Vaseline for my entire. My Vaseline was handed down to me by my grandfather in a will. I literally went on stage and said that, and like the joke was done, and then I added some lines. So Jay was really cool. He took the jokes. He called me. I thought it was a prank. I thought it was my buddy, like Dave, who likes to do impressions. He goes, "Hey, it's," and I go, "Dave, I'm in the middle of a deal. I don't have time." He goes, "No, it's Jay Leno." I go, "Dave, I know it's not Jay Leno stuff." He goes, "It's Jay, really is Jay Leno." And I snapped and I went, "Well, if you're Jay Leno," I actually said to Jay Leno, "You do a lousy Jay Leno," and he's like, "I swear to
Pretty
God."
good.
And
That's
he's
pretty good.
like,
That's
"Yeah, look
funny.
at me." And then he said a couple of days later, he did one of my jokes on the Tonight Show. He paid me $50. The deal was whatever he used, he would pay me. And it just And then he did the joke and it like blew my head off my shoulders. And then I became like obsessed with writing jokes. Like I would love, I was living this like secret double life where I was a lawyer by day, and at night I'd sneak around New York City doing open mic nights, dive bars, trying to get stage time in my like little like Wall Street suit, completely like not belonging in any of these places. One of the places I worked was actually called Downtown Beirut 2. Two. They were either franchising these shitholes or somebody blew up one. And it was basically hecklers, homeless people, pimps, hooker worked out of there. And she'd give you notes on your joke. She'd come off stage and go, "You should be doing that joke about the taxi. It just needs one little thing." Like I was getting notes from a hooker. I was like, what am I doing? And that like became, and I was like, look, get off your knees when you talk to me. And
That's when
like,
you knew you had to do comedy, you
yeah,
know?
that's what I knew. I was completely sucked in.
Lowest common denominator, check.
There you go.
Paul Mercurio's here. He's coming on an episode. So a couple of things. Tell me a little bit about the show and
Yeah.
what I guess, and I definitely want to discuss roots of comedy with you in my own special way because I get invited all the time. The funniest people around here think I should be on a stage doing comedy. I'm like, no. I do radio. I took phone calls forever in
You got
sports,
the personality for
inspired by like the Grease Man and Good Sport Radio and like all that. Louis Anderson sat with me and swore to me that I could do this, and he ran into me in Las Vegas before we lost him, and he came up to me by baggage and he said, "You doing jokes yet?" You know, like he crushed me before he died. And now I feel like I'm 56. I'm figuring it worked out for you. I mean, I'm seeing other people making money doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring what you're doing on stage a little bit of, and I've seen your
Yeah.
things that you've done for a long time. I remember you doing circuit stuff coming through. I mean, we're in Baltimore, you're in New York. I remember when Seinfeld would come down here before he was Seinfeld, just,
Yeah.
doing
Well,
stand
it's
up
what you
because
do.
his.
You work the clubs. There's a Baltimore Comedy Factory there, and there's a couple of other places I work. And you just work, you that's what you do. You work theaters, you work clubs, and you work theaters. This is a show I was doing off Broadway and then Broadway, directed by Frank Oz. And basically it's born out of me. I like talking to audiences. And crowd work, everybody knows crowd work is like, "Oh, I talked to you about your hat, but I'm just gonna make fun of your hat or make fun of you, or I got a joke about a hat and I wanna make it look like I just came up with a joke off of talking to you about your hat." But it's bullshit. Like you could tell like when a comic doesn't care about what they're talking about, they're just using it as a setup. But I found as I asked more and more questions, because I have this like crazy curiosity, I was getting these amazing stories. And some people, Broadway producers, saw me doing this in New York and they said, "Were those people plants?" I'm like, "No." They go, "Well, how did it work out? Those stories are all were like hilarious." I go, "I think everybody's got a story. And if you give them an opportunity, they'll tell it." And you interview people all the time. It's not that first question, it's the second, third, fourth question. And then you get gold every single time. So we put this show together, and then Frank Oz got involved because the premise of the show is we're nameless, faceless, disconnected, divisive, especially politically. But if we get together and share stories and have some laughs, we realize we're all in this boat together. We have more in common than we think, and we don't have to beat each other's throat. We don't talk politics in the show, but what ends up happening is it turns into like we're hanging out in somebody's big basement, having drinks, telling stories instead of like I'm presenting a show. So I go up, I got jokes, I got stories, and then I just start talking to audience members, might even bring people on stage, and I'm getting these insanely incredible stories that. Like I had this woman, I said, "What's your name?" She goes, "Nydia." I said, "Lydia?" She goes, "No, Nydia." That's all I said. "What's your name?" I go, "That's an unusual name. How'd you get that name?" She goes, "Oh, just matter of fact, my father got my mother pregnant with me, but at the same time was having an affair with a woman named Nydia, and he named me after the woman he was having an affair with." Yes. Yes. And it was like,
That opens for more questioning,
yes. And then th
usually.
and that's where it goes. I had another guy, I'm like, "You seem like you're in a bad mood." He goes, "Yeah." I go, "What happened?" "I just broke up with my girlfriend." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, I told she wouldn't listen to me, and I told her not to shoplift at CVS." And then he keeps, I go, "Wait, stop. Did you say at CVS?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I taught her how to shoplift." Anyway, I go, "No, not anyway. Back up. You taught your girlfriend how to shoplift?" Now, everybody in the audience is head exploding because this sounds made up, but it's not. He goes, "Yeah, that's how I make money. I steal stuff. I've been stealing stuff since I was like 10. Like I would steal bikes in the neighborhood from my friends, and then I'd make them buy them back from me, or I'd beat them up." And now the audience is like, what the fuck is going on? Right. So I go, what happened? He goes, well, my girlfriend saw me getting this really nice stuff. You know, I was shoplifting at good places and she won. I go, no, I'm not going to teach you because you're just going to waste it. You're going to shoplift it. It's stupid. You don't understand. The guy's not even, there's no self-awareness. He thinks this is normal. And that's what's beautiful about it. He's not trying to be funny and he's not making it up. I go, what ended up happening? He goes, well, she nagged me. I taught her. Sure enough, what does she do? She goes to CVS, she gets arrested for shoplifting, lipstick and a mirror. She calls me up. I go, what happened? He goes, I go down to the CVS. She's in the back of the squad car. We got in a huge argument. He goes, I told you, you go to shoplift at good places. I go, what happened? He goes, I broke up with her. He goes, I go, when? Like later? He goes, no, in the back of the squad car. He goes, screw this. I didn't need this hassle, right? And he breaks up with her in the back of the squad car. So you hear these stories and you go, that's how other people live their lives. It may not be believable, but it's true. And that's what's really cool about it. So we've been getting these really great stories because everybody's got something going on or something that happened to them that's like sort of out of this world, or it could be like kind of intense or even sad a little bit, but like we've been getting these really fun, really cool stories.
Paul Mercurio is the guest. He's going to be down in Annapolis. I'm going to give everybody links to get the tickets for the show and have a good time. And the show has been on Broadway. And your background in Wall Street and all of that, and then trying comedy at some level on stages. Did you ever like study improv or any of that sort of thing? Because this feels a little improv-y and crowd. But do you identify people in the crowd that may be of it? These are people that paid to come to your show, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm lazy. I let other people do the work. Screw it. I don't know. It's like, I'm drunk half the time, so I just show up and I stick the mic and somebody says, no, I don't pre-screen. I don't know who I'm talking to ahead of time. I don't want to do any of that. I just go up, I talk about the show, I give a little introduction, and then I launch into some of my stories and jokes and stuff like that. And then I just randomly pick people. And people say, well, how does it always work out? I'm like, well, because I think everybody truly has a story, and a lot of times people want to tell their story or need to tell their story, and they don't have a place to say what they want to say, and this is what this is. So there's no plan. And Frank Oz really loved the show because he feels like it's connecting people, and he goes, we really need that. And by the way, try being directed by Frank Oz. Okay, for people who don't know, he created The Muppets with Jim Henson. He directed Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Little Shop of Horrors, Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro. He's the original Yoda. Try being directed by Yoda, okay? It's a little intimid. And the backwards talking thing, he never stops. You go out to dinner with him. Steak I will have. I get it, Frank. You're Yoda. Stop. Enough, right?
What is his role in this? Because when I see produce, because it feels to me a little bit like Tony's and Tina's wedding, where like anything's possible that creates entertainment or creates a hush in the crowd or a
Yeah.
laugh, and it's your role to pull that out of people. But the notion of what permission to speak, when I say the show is permission to speak, what does that represent for someone coming to the show that isn't all that familiar, but wants to laugh and get out and have a good time? And more than that, maybe be participatory with you.
Yeah, I think if anybody's been to a comedy club, it's an extension of that. It's if you take crowd work and just take it to another level where the audience gets to really talk and not just be there and be made fun of. I'm not making fun of anybody or whatever. Frank's role in it is he's directed it and directs me to make sure that I'm not pushing too much, trying too hard to take the spotlight away from somebody and just kind of, be the governor on me a little bit because, as you're a comic, you're on, you want to go, go, go. But what happens is people just like, I mean, I said to a guy, like, I was just asking, I don't know why I said to his wife and his guy, the other guy, I go, what the wife, I go to the wife, what do you worry about? She goes, my kids. And the guy, what do you worry? He goes, dying in my sleep. Like in places like what? And then we went on from there. And so
That's a
what
newlywed
happens?
game, a little bit, right? Like asking both sides what they think. You could do that in any relationship all night and find comedy, I'm sure,
Oh my
right?
God. I mean, the stuff that we get, like, and then how people meet. Like, I had this couple, yeah, I don't know, they're like in their 70s. They just got married. This was a show in New York, actually. They were there for their like honeymoon. Really cool couple. And I said, how did you meet? And she goes, spankme.com. I'm like, what? She goes, spankme.com. He goes, yeah. He goes, we're into sexual role playing. They're into S&M. She's a dom. She's a dom. He's a, he's a, he and so you
How did
look
they
at you.
meet people 20 years ago before
That's
the
exactly.
internet? That would be my first
That was
question.
exactly right. But you look at these people and they look like your grandmother and grandfather. I swear to God. He's got like L.L. Bean pants and shoes on and a little button-down
Dude, maybe
coat.
it's something
And
about the crowd you're bringing in from Colbert and just people with a sense of humor and a general sense that everybody in there is ready to play along. Would you agree with
yes.
that? Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And more than that, like I've had a bunch of people say, this is almost like comedic therapy. Like I really needed to say that. I never got to say that before. So like there's this cool thing. And then they're connecting after the show. Like they're going up to each other. 'Cause like you'll go on stage and say, oh, you're from, I don't know, you're from outside of Baltimore. Yeah, I'm from what neighborhood? Same neighborhood. They start connecting people who wouldn't talk to each other before that. And so for 5 minutes, there's this cool hang that happens after the show, all of which is built around this comedy and just people kind of relating their stories to each other. But like, it's been like really cool because I'm there to, do my thing, tell my stories, I mean, like we talked about my life story. I get in confrontations all the time because I think I'm going to change people's minds. I'm constantly like losing my shit with people and people, but people relate to that. I talk about Halloween and how Halloween just passed and how you can't do things now that you could do years ago. Like every Halloween, I don't know about you, but my parents would dress me as a hobo. That's what they called it, right? It's daddy's old clothes they send you out, right? You can't do that now because it would be considered insensitive. Things are more correct, like because a hobo is a homeless person. And if you think about it, and I talk about this on stage, it's kind of weird. Think about it. My parents dressed me as a homeless person and sent me out onto the streets at night to collect free food in front of real homeless people. And it sucked. I never got candy. Every house, baked beans and a harmonica. That was it. That was it. And
Where'd
so,
you grow up?
what's that?
Where'd you grow up, man?
Providence,
Providence?
Rhode Island. Providence, Rhode Island.
That's very providential, I would say, for you.
Just like Baltimore. Come on.
Oh man, well, we have row houses here, candy apples, all that. I had a good child. I was chunky as a kid. I was husky when I had to
Really?
go shop because of yeah, man, Halloween did me in. The show is Saturday night, this Saturday, and the turkey comes afterward next week. I know you don't have anything to do because the Ravens don't play until Monday night. Show is at 8 o'clock. It's at Maryland Hall. That's a great space that Ramstedt on stage been a part of. And yeah, I've been going down to Ramstedt forever and seeing shows all the time. But this is sort of a little bit of a bigger space, more stagey. And I know you played the other Ramstedt as well. You've done stand-up for a long time. Do you still do normal stand-up as we would know it? I would think you've done your 10,000 hours plus, right? I
Oh
mean,
yeah. Oh
and
yeah,
then
I'm going to
some.
be doing yeah, I mean I'm going to be doing another appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert in January. So, I'm getting ready for that and getting that set together. Oh yeah, I got my stand up too. My stand up and this is combination of my tour. 1 week I'll do stand up. And we've got a set, a really cool set with this show designed by the set designer for The Late Show. We got animation by J.J. Settlemyer, who did Beavis and Butthead and all this SNL TV Funhouse videos. So it's a multimedia show, but it's still comedy at its core, stand-up stories. But yeah, I'm out there doing my stand-up all the time. I'm touring everywhere, plus this. But this has been fun. This is different. And it's nice to do what you do and your core thing you do, but then like you branch out and do something kind of related. It's like a breath of fresh air, it just kind of gives you a little more juice,
Yeah, I've been doing this for 33 years, taking phone calls. Now I talk to comedians. I always sort of mix this stuff in, but the week we lose to the Steelers 18-16, it used to be like 9 days of self-loathing that was involved in this and Harbaugh versus Harbaugh. Now it's just like, pumpkin or mincemeat? Do you think we should go with the sweet potato or the apple next week? And how are we going to do the leftovers and the little muffins with the leftover stuffing? Paul, I wish you luck on the show and
Thanks,
bringing things
bud.
out. I do want to talk to you about the root of comedy
Yeah.
and your involvement in advice. Anytime I have somebody way funnier than me and guys that are on Colbert,
Oh,
and
you're funny.
certainly in an era where, like, Trump's about to take over again, right? We lived through this once. Some of that could be comedy because we lived through it, but I remember the masks, all of that. I'm certainly on the Colbert side of where good common sense is. I walk the streets. This isn't a punchline, but you're a comedian. You'll make it funny. I booked a trip to go to New York on Wednesday and Thursday after the election, thinking it'd be like a celebration. I landed in New York at like 9:30 on Wednesday morning after the election. And it was like there was no music on the streets. There was like the sounds of silence. I'm walking. And the pastries were good. The food was, the pizza was good.
The
But
pieces.
I'm in New York and you're
That's
there and
because
I'm there. And I'm.
half the city just moved out of the country. That's
I
why.
might run into Deepak Chopra to cheer me up or something, but I mean, like, other than that, it was just sort of like the bars were open, I promise you,
Well, we normally do we do live shows for big moments like election night, or like every 2 years when there's a congressional votes election. We didn't do a live show this night, but when Trump got elected in 2016, we did a live show, and it was people walked out. It was like Dawn of the Living Dead. They're looking out like, like because everybody came in thinking, "Woo, it's
Everybody
gonna be the
remembers where they were that night in
oh my! I've
2016.
never done a show where people were crying, not from laughter, but from sadness leaving a comedy show, and that's what happened. I mean, everybody was like teed up here, like I think around like a lot of places around the country. And I hosted this thing, Comics for Kamala, where we raised over $600,000 for her, and everybody thought there was momentum. But yeah, like it's. Look, either side gives you, we go after the left too. We go after Biden. We do our share. I always say, because I worked on The Daily Show too and the Colbert Report, like you just go after whoever deserves it. Like if you're acting like an ass, then you're gonna get your head handed to you. And so it's not like, we think we're changing the world or anything, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because everybody in the next couple of days in the city was just like, it was like eerily quiet. Like it
I was
was.
going to go see the Pink Floyd show at the Garden. I'm like, I don't need that tonight. I don't need, us and them. I mean, I did not need that. I just stayed at Stout on 33rd. I made a right. I found an Irish bar. I worked on some ramen, the stuff that I work on in Manhattan. I hope you work on a full crowd. Tell everybody about coming down to this that hasn't been up to Broadway, that may be familiar with your work, that this isn't just like a stand-up. This is like a Broadway thing you've done for many, many times, but it's literally kind of like a Pearl Jam show. It's just never the same show twice, or a
Yeah,
Springsteen
if
show,
that's the
right?
other thing, and that's what I say to the audience, it's a really good point. And by the way, you're very funny. If you're not doing stand-up, you should. Secondly, I'm a Patriots fan, so talk about someone who's in a bad way right now. We had it going good for now, but thanks for Belichick. He screwed that up. So I want to be a
See, if
Ravens.
I was on stage right now and I didn't have an FCC license, it just would the minute you said I'm a Patriots fan, I would
I
say tuck you, but Tucker missed two kicks this week, so I can't even say that. So,
Oh man, what's going on with him? Is he out the
I don't
door?
know.
What?
We aging, it's happened to all of us. I'm not as good looking as I, you might not be as funny as you be. Wait, he doesn't kick as well as he does. You know what I mean? We all lose it, right? I mean,
Exactly.
Jesus.
So, we were, yeah. So the show, like, what ends up happening is I say to the audience, this show can never repeat itself because we're never going to be together again. Right? Like, because it really is about what's happening in the room that night. And I think that's really cool. And I really love that. Like, it's our show. And people do leave feeling like, wow, this was a cool thing that I've never been to before. It's stand up with crowd work, but it's really more personal, but in a cool way. And people are really good at telling their own punchlines too. Like, people know how to tell stories because they're comfortable. Right? And so, we get these stories and it connects people. And so, yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's what I like about it. There's some parts of the show, like I tell certain stories that I repeat, but for the most part, like 98% of it's new every time. So I'm having people come the same night. If I'm doing two shows in a night, they'll get tickets and come to the second show because they want to see a whole different set of people. So it's really cool that way.
I'm always the guy at the show. Don't call on me. Don't call on my
No, I
pretty
can't.
wife. Come on, dude. Like Rogan crushed my wife one night in Phoenix because we sat up front. Like it's just, I don't need that kind of pressure at all.
Yeah, but you'd be good. You can come back. You're quick. You can do this. I can see you could be like, you can handle yourself. Look how slender you are now. You're not husky anymore.
Yeah,
You can
well,
move like a
it's all the
cat.
hot yoga I'm doing. It's all that deep breathing that I need for the next 4 years to keep my sanity.
I know, right?
Paul Mercurio is going to be down at Maryland Hall. It's a beautiful space down in Annapolis. I call it Hot Annapolis. Hopefully, you're not eating tourist crab cakes. Hope you know better. The folks at Ramshead will not allow that to happen down in Annapolis. They have provided a Paul to come on here, hopefully lift the spirits during the holiday and
Absolutely. And
provide
you're
some
gonna
levity.
there's something going on, for everybody, like the holidays. I got a holiday tip for everybody. Buy good gifts for people. I'm not one of these people. I got a kid. I don't know if you got a kid, like I'm not always feel, oh, you don't have to give me a good gift. Get a good gift. This has been a sting in my head lately. Like I got a sister-in-law, every Christmas, what she gives me is a lottery ticket. She gives me a friggin' lottery ticket.
Just like this.
Well, that's fine. That's fine to
Long
give.
as you're 18 years of age or older.
Exactly. But
Yes.
don't give it as a gift. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say, because nothing says I care about you less than a 1 in 400 million chance of getting a gift. Okay. And then she gave me a $2 lottery ticket and put it in a card that was worth $8. The card is worth four times the price of the gift. Okay. That screws with people's head. So, get me a nice gift. If you're
Oh, you
coming to
live in New
Maryland,
York. You have everything. What do I get for somebody that has everything?
you're gonna come to New York and come to a late show taping. Why don't you tell me when you're
Whoa.
coming?
Wow, I'll tell you what, I know right where that is. I've walked past that theater many, many times with my nose pressed up to the glass and Letterman's in there. I can't see him. Where did he go?
Now you don't have to do that. You can come
Oh,
walk right in.
ba
I'll get you
ba
tickets.
ba na na na.
You know what
You
I'm
don't have taught
saying?
me into coming to New York, dude. I'll come to New York anytime just for the pastries and just for the walk, the flat walk through. Paul Mercurio is walking all the way from New York down to Annapolis. He'll be there on Saturday night, hoping that you come along and play along. It is permission to speak. It's a whole lot more than just a comedy show. It is a it's an inclusive, exclusive extravaganza coming
There you go.
to Annapolis. Thanks for coming on and being fun. I really appreciate you making a little time. I appreciate the fact that you're not a Steelers fan this week because I can't take that. I mean, Patriots will live with you. You're like 2-9 again. Good
Yeah,
luck with that thing.
exactly.
Ever since you
Exactly.
stopped cheating, things have gone kind of sour for
Oh,
y'all,
here we go. Here we go. You guys just don't know how to play
Kick
football.
him in the balls on the way out in the
Oh, get
comedy
out of
segment. That's the way
here.
you do it.
Tom Brady, Mike, the GOAT, the GOAT. You know he's the GOAT. Look at me and say he's the GOAT.
You and I
Look at
are
me.
better broadcasters than he are. He is.
That's true.
He is. We are. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. A little comedy, a little sports, a little fun. Get on down to Maryland Hall and check out Paul's show on Saturday night with the Ramshead folks.